want to say thank you to Sarah for the awesome job she did last Sunday. If Sarah keeps preaching like that, I'll be passing out shopping carts at Walmart before this is all said and done. Isn't it delightful that God can speak to us clearly in through so many remarkable people in our church? We are very blessed. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are in a culture that implies that faith in God is a relic of the past. Well, we are in a culture that implies that all there really is space and matter, and everything else is just a product of that. But you have shown us something that is much deeper, much better, and much richer. And I pray that you would help us to see that faith in God is the most reasonable thing we can do. And then as we see it is reasonable to put our faith in you, I pray that our sense of accountability to you would go up. And I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. We're doing four sermons on C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity. C.S. Lewis was a professor of literature at Cambridge University. And when World War II was raging, the BBC came to him. And because he had been, most of his life he had been an atheist. And he came to faith in Christ, and the BBC said, to help people in this time of the war, we'd like you to give some radio lectures. And the radio lectures were supposed to be a layman's understanding of Christianity. These lectures were so powerful and so influential that he wrote it up into a book, and we have the book called Mere Christianity. And so for four sermons, our three campuses are going to be sharing ideas that come from C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity. Lewis starts out by saying, if God exists, how would he show himself in the world? Listen at this idea he says. He said, consider an architect. Consider that you're going to build a house and you hire an architect. How would that architect show himself in the house? You certainly couldn't expect him to be a permanent beam that held up the roof to your living room. The architect could not physically be part of the house. You could never find the architect by wandering around in the house, because it's fundamentally not possible for him to be part of the house. So the architect, if he wanted to be known, would have to express himself in different ways. You're never going to find God in the material universe. Later on, we're going to talk about Christ, but in his spiritual nature, you're never going to find God in the universe. He didn't leave bits and pieces of himself in the creation, no more than an architect leaves bits and pieces of himself in a house. So if you're looking for God, where would you look? The Webb Space Telescope is producing these awesome pictures. And I look at some of those pictures, and I'm just overwhelmed by amazement. But you're not going to find God in a picture from the Webb telescope. You're not going to find God in a physics lab. That's not how he expresses himself in his creation. So Lewis said, how would God, who is greater than the universe, express himself in the universe? And then he said, the most logical way is he would in some way try to teach us to think and behave in ways that are consistent with the way he created the world. Three boys. You're going to try to raise those boys to obey the law of decent behavior, right? Every parent wants to teach their kids to obey the law of decent behavior. Well, that's exactly what Lewis says. Our Heavenly Father makes himself best known by impressing upon us the rules of decent behavior. What are the rules of decent behavior? This is what Lewis says. First, that human beings all over the earth have a curious idea how they ought to behave in a certain way, and they really can't get rid of it. If you study human beings from as early as history starts to right now, in every generation, the human race has said it's wrong to murder somebody. Now, we've disagreed about what murder means, but we've always said murdering somebody breaks an innate human sense of right and wrong. In every generation. And go anywhere in the world today, and that same law of decent behavior prevails. I'm not saying people don't murder people. What I'm saying is, when it happens, we all have a sense that it's not right. And Lewis says, this is the law of decent behavior that the Creator put in every human soul, and it is evidence that he's there. He says the second thing about this, we all have this inner sense of right and wrong that we can't get away from. But tragically, we all break our own rules. We all agree in here, lying's not a good thing. And everyone in this room has told a lie. I've told a lie. I've told more than one lie. You live this long, stuff adds up. Everyone in this room feels cheated. You feel like it's unfair if somebody lied to you, but all of us have lied. You see Lewis's point? Where does this feeling of fair play come from? Where does this feeling that there are certain things I should do and there are certain things I shouldn't do that I can't get away from? Where does it come from? Lewis says it is implanted in every human soul by the Creator. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Church of Rome about 56 years after Christ. For when Gentiles who do not have the law, by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves. Even though they do not have the law, they show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and conflicting thoughts accuse or excuse. Listen to what Paul says. The Creator has written on every human heart a sense of right and wrong, a sense of this is a better way to behave than that. and it is the primary evidence that he's there. It is the primary evidence he's there. Every human, by the mere fact of being human, says, I'm not as good as I expect myself to be. Now, maybe there are some sociopaths who have suppressed, okay. But if we're honest with ourselves this morning, if you're brutally honest with yourself, every one of us say, I am aware that I am not as good as I expect myself to be. Church? Listen to this. Why is it I remember breaking the rule of decent behavior more than I remember keeping the rule of decent behavior? I never wake up in the middle of the night and say, 30 years ago, man, did I ever nail it when I did this good thing. No, that's not what happens. I wake up in the middle of the night, I remember my children being little, and I remember being too grouchy with them, and call myself a few names and try to go back to sleep. In the human soul, we have an innate awareness that somehow or another, we should be better than what we are. And in fact, that is the Creator whispering to us, there's something better. There's something better. I've got something better for you. It's not just other people's rules I break my own rules. My heart says to me, just chill out, would you? Calm down. Speak in a pleasant way. Obey the rules of decent behavior. And then the next thing I know, I'm all cranked up and I'm swearing at the TV about baseball games. My rule to be polite, I'm not going to get arrested if I'm not polite, but it's something I expect of myself. It's not somebody else imposing, if you're not polite, I'm going to put you in a timeout. The rule is not imposed on me from the outside. It's in me. In me, I hear a voice that says, Mister, could you just be kind? Is it too much for me to ask of you to just be kind? And then I find, even though that is my rule, I find I break it. Lewis says, if we pay attention to this, we're going to discover some very interesting things. Why do we make excuses? You don't make an excuse for doing something right. Hey, babe, I emptied the dishwasher. We never make excuses for doing something right. We make excuses because something in us says, I didn't do something I should have done. Where does the sense that I need to make an excuse because I didn't do something right, where does it come from? How about this? How much does unfairness bother you? It bothers us more when people treat us unfairly than when we treat other people unfairly, right? It bothers me more if somebody cuts me off than if I cut them off. We have a real sense of annoyance at injustice. When you hear a story on TV that some injustice happened, we find that it's annoying to us. All of these are expressions of this divine law of decent behavior. Now, I've implied, but now I want to make an argument how I know that comes from God. How do I know that this law of a decent behavior comes from God? Maybe I can find that its origin is in something else. Lewis says, well, historically, it falls into two categories. Either you believe it just is part of the material world, or that you believe ethics have their origin in religion. That ethical behavior is an expression of thinking about God. All right, let's start with the material. Can we prove that this law of decent behavior doesn't come to me through the material world? Let's just see if we can do it. This is what he says. If it came to us through the material world, how would it come to us? Maybe instinct. The birds are going to get together pretty soon, and they're going to fly south. They're not going to land in a big field and have a discussion. Do you think it's time to go yet? Do we have a couple more weeks left? They don't make a conscious decision to fly south. Instinct kicks in, and they just start flying south. They cannot disobey the law of instinct. I like to watch these nature shows. Bears, the season gets right, instinct tells them, they crawl in a hole and they sleep for 6 months. They are obeying instinct. All right. If the law of decent behavior came from instinct, I wouldn't be able to disobey it. In the very same way that the animal world can't disobey the instinct that drives them, if the law of decent behavior came to me through instinct, none of us would disobey it. We would automatically obey it. Does that make sense to you? So, he says, second of all, well, how do we know it's just not something we learn from our culture? We learn a lot of stuff from our culture. We learn a lot of stuff when we're children. We just, we're not even conscious that we're learning it. We just absorb it. He says, how do we know that this law of decent behavior isn't something that we just learn by growing up in society? Then he says this. If we learned it from growing up in society, like every other cultural thing, it would differ all over the world, right? The cultures evolve different things all over the world. Let's just take food, for example. Some of you love Italian food. Some of you like Mexican food. Two different cultures, both producing food, but the food is very different. If culture was what is producing the law of decent behavior, it would be different everywhere, and it would be different over time. But the fact that it's not says this doesn't come to me through the material world. Its origin is not from just living in this world. Let me see if this helps. Church, Christianity is a thinking religion, and we're going to do some thinking together. I know I press you a little bit. Just think with me, though. All right. I'm starting to see that glazed eye look at. Don't go to sleep yet. Hang in there. All right. If you had a pot on the stove, a teapot, and the water was boiling, and somebody said to you, why is the water boiling? The materialistic answer would be because there's fire underneath it, and that fire heats it up to 200 and whatever degrees, and when water reaches that level, it boils. That's a scientific answer. But an answer that's equally true is, I thought I would make a cup of tea for you and I. Why is the water boiling? Well, science says because the fire made it boil. Okay, but the real reason the water's boiling is you want to make a cup of tea for yourself and someone else. Do you see? The second answer is as valid and really more practical than the first answer. All right. Let's move on. The law of decent behavior is an expression of the thoughtfulness of God. Listen to what God says. God says, I created you to live in this world that I created. And if you obey the law of decent behavior, you fit in the world better. You live a better quality of life. Okay? Who lives a better quality of life? A home that is consistently rude with each other, snarky, or a home where people are consistently nice to each other, have a gentle spirit, and are encouraging. Do you see the point? The law of decent behavior makes it possible for me to live in a better way in the world that God created. God is not arbitrary. He approves of what is good and he disapproves of what is bad. He created us in his image. And if we're going to live the way he created us to live, this law of decent behavior makes all the difference in the world. All right. Now I got that done. Now let's get to the good stuff. All right. So then, the law of decent behavior is a giant clue about who God is. The best clue that God has given us about who he is the code that he's written in every one of us. I want to ask you, if you're looking for God, how would you recognize him if he revealed himself to you? Well, some of you grew up in church and you say, well, an angel showed up and talked to Mary one time. All right. That was an angel. It wasn't God. It was another created being. It wasn't the creator. If this week you wanted to seek the Lord, how would you do it? Where would you begin? How would you begin to look? The argument is, God's biggest clue for who he is, he's already placed in every one of us. This code of decent behavior is God saying, this is the kind of person I am. If you want to know what God is like, he says, it's accessible to every human soul. I've already written on your heart what I'm like. Church. Nobody has to teach mom and dad to love that baby. It's written on their heart, right? God writes a law on our heart, and he says, I want you to be loving because I'm loving, and I created you to give and receive love. That's what God is like. God says, I want you to be fair because I'm fair. And being fair creates a better world. God said, I want you to be holy because I'm holy. And holiness saves us a great deal of sorrow, regret, and remorse. Lewis wrote, the being behind the universe is intensely interested in right conduct, in fair play, unselfishness, courage, good faith, honesty, and truthfulness. That's the kind of person he is. All right. Now we take all of this and we say, if the creator of the universe wanted to best tell us who he was, he would influence our hearts and he would write on us an awareness of decent behavior. But he would go one step farther than that. You see, Every good parent just doesn't say to their family, we want you to grow up to be decent people. We hold our kids accountable for being decent people, right? In some way, these boys will fight. They'll be rowdiness in the house. If one child is abusive to another child, maybe it has to have a timeout. What are we doing? We're saying these behaviors are so important to me, I'm going to hold you accountable to do them. I value you so much that I'm going to hold you accountable to start living by the values that I've written on your heart. Well, it turns out the Lord God Almighty loves and values you so much that he not only wrote his law on your heart, the law of decent behavior, he also says, I'm going to hold you accountable for it. Church, whether you get away with being a jerk at work or not, the Creator said, I'm going to hold you accountable. Whether you get away with being mean to people, whether you get away with being the nastiest person on the internet, God said, I'm holding you accountable on it, church. The law of decent behavior includes God saying, I believe in this so much, I'm going to hold you accountable for it. God will hold every one of us accountable for how we treated other people. And I'm telling you, our culture doesn't need to hear anything more clearly than that. Listen, this is what Paul wrote. Romans 2:15. They show the work of the law written on their hearts, while their conscience also bear witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse and even excuse. On that day, when according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. All right. I want to make this intensely practical. I have a code written on my heart. I have a long track record of not living up to it. Next week, I don't know what I'll do, but I will break the law of decent behavior in some way. I got pretty good proof by a lifetime of doing it. I can't predict how I'll do it, but I will break the law of decent behavior in some way. All right. In that moment, when I am aware that I have not lived up to my internal code, that is a divine moment. That is not a moment where I run from God. That is a moment I run to God. Do you hear this? In that moment where I am aware that I was too sarcastic with my wife, in that moment, the Creator is whispering to me and saying, I'm here. And the reason you feel the way you feel for being snarky with your wife is, I'm expecting something better from you. Church? It's a divine moment where the Creator says, the reason you sense what you sense right now is because I am here with you. And I'm ready and I'm willing to make this teachable moment important. Church, in every misbehavior, there is a beautiful divine moment. The problem is we have developed the impulse to make an excuse instead of going to the Creator. I want to say it's not my fault. I want to say whatever. All right. Next week, in your life, you're going to have a moment where you say, I wish I'd have handled that better. Now, in that moment, you have a golden opportunity to seek the reality of God. Those are golden moments where God says, I'll prove myself to you in this moment. In this moment, when you are aware that you've broken the rule of decent behavior, I will prove myself to you. And the way he proves himself to us is, first of all, he makes us aware that we've done it, and second of all, he offers us a better option. He says, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Do you hear that? And he also says, I'm here. I'm able to help you respond in better ways. My spirit is alive and well in you, and he's capable of helping you respond in better ways. God proves himself in a universe, not in a material way, but in a much more daily and practical way. It's his code in our heart. When we break that code, we have a golden moment to connect with the Creator and acknowledge that we haven't lived up to our own expectations or his. Ask him to forgive us and ask him to prove himself in our life by teaching us how to be better people through this difficult moment. The same thing works when you do something good. Every time you obey the law of decent behavior, it is a holy moment. And in that holy moment, when you're aware, you can say to God, thank you that you made me aware that this is the way I should behave. Thank you for helping me do it. Thank you for the joy that comes to my life. Thank you that I live better because I do what my soul expects me to do. So then, every life event, good or bad, is a moment for the Creator to say to us, I'm here. I'm here in a real way. I'm here, first of all, in the code, and I'm here, second of all, to help you when you break or keep the code. God holds me accountable for bad behavior. He offers me forgiveness and correction. God holds me accountable for good behavior. He affirms me and blesses me. All right. This is what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to look for God in a different way. I'm asking you to look for God in a very different way than maybe you've looked for him in the past. I'm asking you to look for him in a much more practical way. This week, this is your homework assignment. Don't make me send home notes home to your Heavenly Father. This is your homework assignment. Try to be aware of the code. And as you're aware of the code, make it a source of conversation between you and God. Some parts of the code come really easy to me. Some parts of the code come very hard to me. I'm sure the same is true for everybody in this room. Part of decent behavior comes real easy to me. Part of decent behavior is a struggle. All right. Make it part of your daily spiritual life to say to God, I'm paying attention today. I'm paying attention to what the code is saying to me. And when I hear you whisper to me, you're better than that, I'm going to respond in a way that'll make it possible for you to reveal yourself to me in a more clear way. Can you hear this, church? God is revealing himself in the world. He just doesn't use Las Vegas signs to do it. He's doing something much more subtle. He's meeting us at the core of who we are. And he's saying, when you're aware of this, it is in a moment that you can be more aware of me. Our dear Heavenly Father, I pray for your grace. I pray that your Holy Spirit would make us aware. I pray that we would have this sense of the divine. And then I pray that as we have a sense of who you are and how noble your character is, we would grow to be more like you, and we'd have a heightened awareness of you in our daily lives. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen.